Suppose this week you went out to check your mail and go out to your mailbox and you walk in and you notice as you open your mailbox a special envelope. A special envelope, and it's marked with a special gold lettering at the corner, White House, Washington, D.C. And you look at it and it has your name addressed on it. And you begin to wonder, what is this? A letter from the White House. So you open it up, and here is a personal invitation addressed to you from the President of the United States, inviting you to have dinner with him at the White House, in a personal dinner with him in the White House. Bob, you would love that. I see he's shaking his head yes. And imagine the honor that would be of receiving a personal invitation to dine with the President at his invitation. Said, boy, what is this that I'm able to dine with the President? This is a special honor. Now, some of you, like Bob, that's exciting. But for Kim, that might not be too exciting. But I know what she's shaking her head no. But what would be really exciting for her is this past week we went to Oregon Dairy. And we were coming back from the, she knows what I'm going to say. We were coming back from the eye doctor. She was getting her eyes examined. And we were coming back home. And we stopped at Oregon Dairy for lunch. And we walked in and they wanted to seat us. And I said, they want a table or booth. I said, a booth. And so they took us over. And she asked the hostess sitting us. She said, do you know where Donny Osmond sat when he ate here? She said, can you set me in the table where Donny Osmond ate? So for her, she was excited to sit where, and the waitress said, I don't know which table he ate at. And she said, I don't know. But for her, to eat with Donny Osmond would be more exciting than eating with the President. But that special honor of dining with somebody important, I would say, wow, what a special honor that is. But greater than the President or even Donny Osmond, we all were invited this morning to dine at the King's table. And to dine and eat with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's a far greater honor of all, that privilege of coming and being a part of fellowshipping with him at the table that he's prepared for us and invites us to. And the scripture that I read just a few minutes ago, it tells about a story that happened in King David's life shortly after he became king. And as you know, King David, as a young boy, was chosen to be king, the next king of Israel when he was just small, when Saul was still reigning, the first king of Israel. And because of Saul's disobedience, God had rejected him as king and chose that David would be the next one to be king. When David was young, you know, he killed Goliath, but then Saul soon became jealous of him and hunted him down and tried to kill him for a good number of his years. But David and Jonathan, Saul's son, became great friends. And they became best friends. Jonathan saved David's life from the wrath of his father, and they made a covenant, they made agreement together, because Jonathan knew that someday David would be king. And he made an agreement and said that when you become king, you make sure and show kindness to me. And they made that promise and oath to each other. And now the years have passed. David has now become king. Saul and Jonathan both have been killed in battle. And David now remembers that covenant, that promise that he had made to his friend Jonathan all those years ago. So he asked and said, is there anybody that's still living from the family of Saul that I can show kindness to? And they sent out and they found out that there was a one person left from the family of Saul whose name was Mephibosheth, who had been crippled as a young boy because whenever Saul was dying in the battle, his nurse took him and ran and dropped him, and he was crippled in his feet. So he was living as a cripple the rest of his life. And so David says, bring him to me that I can show him kindness. And so he brought him to the palace. And I imagine Mephibosheth, in getting that word that the king had sent for him, was wondering what was going to go on. But David invited him to dine with him at his palace and to eat with him the meals at his table from the king's banquet the rest of his life. And it was a special privilege that God had given him. And as we come to the Lord's table this morning, just like Mephibosheth, we find ourselves invited unexpectedly to dine with our king, much like Mephibosheth in a way that he felt. Because there's four reasons why dining with the king at his table is a wonderful experience. And I'm sure that it was a wonderful experience for Mephibosheth. I'm sure dining with the king every day was something that became a glorious experience for him. And as we come to the table of the Lord, there's four reasons why this table means so much to us. And dining with our king is special. And the first, because at his table, dining with the king, his kindness is shown to us. And we see his kindness displayed at the table that he has given through the bread and the cup. David asked that question. He said, is there still anybody left in the household of Saul to whom I can show kindness, he says, for Jonathan's sake? In fact, three times in those first seven verses, he uses that word kindness. And the word kindness is the key to understanding this chapter and this whole story of what was going on here. It was a Hebrew word that is often translated loving kindness. And it points to God's loyal and faithful care and love for his people. Because just as David the king showed kindness to Mephibosheth, God, Jesus, has shown loving kindness to us. And he has invited us and provided a way that we can dine with him and have fellowship with him eternally, just as David had done for Mephibosheth. That word loving kindness is related to the Hebrew word for stork. You know what a stork, those birds that we often associate with bringing babies. Now, when we were in Uganda, they had these storks, and they stood about this high? They were the ugliest looking birds we ever seen. And we saw them over there and said, what are those ugly things? And they stood about this big, and they would stand that tall, but they would sit on the lampposts and the trees. It's amazing how they did, but they were ugly things. But the word stork is the word from which that word kindness comes from. And you say, how is there a relation between stork and kindness? How did the Hebrews understand that? Well, it came from when they observed, looking at the storks, they looked at how they cared for their young. And they noticed how they would provide a nest for them and keep them safe. They noticed how they would nurture them and how they would provide and care for their young. And as they watched the storks care for their little young, they said, you know, that's the same way that God shows kindness to us. That he provides for us, he watches over us, and keeps us safe. And so they used that word to describe the loving kindness of God. But he shows kindness to us just as David showed kindness to Mephibosheth, because when we were fallen in sin, he lifted us up and he picks us up. The story mentions that Mephibosheth was a cripple and he wasn't able to walk and he needed someone to care for him. And David was going to provide care for him at his table for the rest of his life. And when we all were fallen, just like Mephibosheth, we all were crippled by our sin. And there wasn't a way on our own that we could have a right relationship with God. There wasn't a way that we could have fellowship with God because of our sin that kept us separated from him. But God provided a way through the table, through the bread, through his body broken, through his blood shed. And he said, I've done this for you, that as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. But he provided a way that we could have fellowship with him and we could dine with him forever. Isn't that great? And he showed his kindness to us. That's why the table was special, because his kindness is displayed. That in the crippleness of our sin, he picked us up. He sought us out. David sought out Jonathan. David sought out Mephibosheth. He said he personally sought him out, just as God personally seeks us out and brings us to himself. And when we were far from God, he brought us near. The story says there, when David asked in verse 1, is there anybody still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness? The servant said, there is one. In verse 3, there's still one, but he's clear living in Lo Debar. He's not anywhere near here. And David says, well, go get him and bring him near. And our sin kept us separated from God, but Jesus provided a way that we can be brought close. And as we share the bread and the cup again this morning, it reminds us that he has drawn us close to himself, and communion is a special time for that. That his kindness is displayed, that when we were far, he brought us near. And aren't you thankful he did, that he brought us near to him? And when we were filled with fear, he showed us grace. It says here that when Mephibosheth came, he was afraid, and he bowed down before Saul, David, in fear, and he was afraid. And the reason why was because it was customary in that time for kings in that time of the war, in that time and that place, to when they became in power, that they would eliminate all of the people of the same family before them. And so anybody that was or the predecessor's family, they would just eliminate them so that there'd be a threat to a rival to a throne or ascending power. And that's what Mephibosheth was afraid of. He was afraid that David was going to kill him when he was sent for him. And he said, oh, the king found out who I am, he's going to have me killed. And he had fear. But as he approached David, he approached with that fear. And David said, you don't have to be afraid, because I'm showing you kindness. I'm showing you grace. And the table of the Lord has taken away the fear of us approaching God. Aren't you thankful that the writer of Hebrews says we can now come through a new and living way, that is the curtain of his body for us? We don't have to approach God with fear anymore, because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That the blood was shed, the price was paid. And if you know Christ as your Savior, we can approach him with grace. And it takes away the fear and gives us confidence. Kindness was shown to us at this table. And as we dine with the King, we rejoice that it's a table of God's grace freely bestowed, because grace brings acceptance. Mephibosheth didn't do anything to earn this invitation with David. He didn't do anything to get this response to dine with the king every day at his table and to have the privilege of eating with him. There was nothing that Mephibosheth did to earn it or gain or merit it. David freely bestowed grace. There's nothing that we can do to make us worthy of dining with God. Jesus did it all for us right here, right? There's no merit in ourselves that we can do that gives us the privilege of dining and communing with him. He did it all for us. And that's what this reminds us of. A free gift of God's grace, freely bestowed on all who will believe. We can't earn it. It's a gift of God's grace. And grace has often been defined as blessings given that are not earned or deserved. It's unmerited favor that cannot be paid back. And Mephibosheth, there was no way, as a cripple, Mephibosheth was going to be able to pay back all the kindness that David was going to bestow upon him. And there's no way that we can pay back Christ for what he's done for us. It's a free gift of his grace that we don't deserve. So as we dine at the table, we rejoice because his kindness is shown to us here. To come with thanksgiving. Grace brings acceptance. Grace brings blessing. And grace brings communion. And in all those things we see as we come to his table. But second, not only is his kindness shown, which dining with the king is a wonderful experience, but dining with the king is also wonderful because his glory is worshipped. It says here that when Mephibosheth saw the king, verse 6 and 8, he bowed down, it says, he bowed down to pay him honor. And he bowed before the king to give him the glory that he was worthy of. As we come to the table of the Lord, his glory is worshiped because we thank him for what he's done for us. Coming in thanksgiving and bowing down before him at the table in gratitude that he, the king, the Lord, would leave all of that and come and suffer and go to the cross for you and for me. that he would lay it down so that we could have life. And we see his glory that he became a suffering servant and did not think that was held on to, but made himself nothing for us. And we come with thanksgiving, bowing before him. So come with gratitude. Come with thanksgiving that his kindness was shown to you, extended you grace when we didn't deserve it. And he, the king, we come bowing before him who was worthy. This table, dining with the king, is also a wonderful experience because his provision is complete. In verses 9 to 10, the king told the servant, Ziba, who was Saul's servant, to take care of and to farm all the crops and all the land for Mephibosheth, and to take care of all the farm work for him, and to make sure that all that was brought in and gathered and was all going to go to Mephibosheth, and he was going to be provided for. And he would also be eating at his table, the king's table. The best that the king had to offer would be given to Mephibosheth. And his provision, he was not going to have to wonder or worry about anything the rest of his life. It would all be taken care of for him through the king's kindness. And his provision was more than enough for him. As we come to the table, we're reminded that through the bread and the cup that Jesus said, my body broken for you, my blood shed, that his provision that he made for us right here is more than enough to cover all of our sins. It's more than enough to cover our sins of the past, present, and future, because it's all paid for and completed here through what Jesus did. It's more than enough. His grace is sufficient. Aren't you thankful for that? No matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we fail, the payment, the provision is complete. There is no other need. Jesus died on the cross once and complete, and it's done. No other sacrifice needs to be made. He sat down at the hand of the Father and said, it is over. It is complete. It is finished. And it is completed. And so we come thanking him for the complete payment that he's provided, but also the fact that his provision for us is more than enough. Just as David provided for Mephibosheth, God continues to provide for us daily. And he provides for our needs, whatever they may be, in abundance. And his supply never runs out, and it is never exhausted. And dining with our king is a wonderful experience, fourth, because his presence is assured. And we know that David and Mephibosheth ate together, and it said that he always... Verse 13 says, Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. And he had that assurance of being in the presence of the king throughout the rest of his life. And he was assured of the presence of being in his presence with us. And the Lord says, when we do this, we do it in remembrance of him, knowing that we commune with him in a personal way, but it's assurance of his presence with us always. So Jesus said, I will be with you always. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, looking forward to the day that we're going to sit down together around my table in heaven. We're assurance that we're going to be with you. I will be with you always. And he said, I desire to share this meal with you. And then he ate there. And this is part of the assurance of our fellowship with him and what he has provided for us. So we come this morning to dine with our King, the royal invitation that he has provided for us, far greater than any earthly king or any person of fame here, is to dine with Jesus at his table. Because his kindness was greatly shown to you and me through his death on the cross and what this means to us, his body broken, his blood shed. So come with thanksgiving, knowing that his presence is with you now and always. And his provision is more than enough. As we go to prepare to meet our Lord at his table, join me in a time of prayer. as we prepare to meet our Lord at his table this morning. And if you're able to kneel, you're invited to. If not, you remain seated. That's fine. But as we prepare to meet our Lord at his table in a time of prayer.